As we gather here, it looks like a small gathering. But if we knew how concentrated are the components of people who are present here, we'd find that it's going to be extremely stimulating. As we were discussing over breakfast this morning with Sonia Dhan, the AVI board is meeting here. So obviously they are demanding a lot of attention because their visit here is brief, but they will be coming in later or listening to the live broadcast that Andras is doing of the entire 3 days. You know, there's a Shobindo Center for Studies, India and the World, in Orwell, which has been working for 25 years in makeshift places. Finally, a proper building has been constructed to take about a year to finish. Once a year, the center senses the theme, the subject, that cries for attention from the whole world. And we in Norville, who are so concentrated as an international group on creating something for the future, pick it up. And we set up a little occasion of 3 days when we can share it among ourselves who live the Orville experience and all those people who resonate with that experience and who would like to come, like there are several here, and among them, interestingly enough, are very eminent medical scientists. I cannot recall a time in the 40 years of Orville's existence when medical scientists of so numerous and of that caliber have wanted to come. So something must be happening. Let's find out what is it that brings them. Now this year's theme is very interesting. Matter precipitates. It is in a hurry to transform itself. And the most significant and amazing part of it, which I think leaves a number of us who are in the know a bit stunned, the entire text of 5 pages was written in March last year. And right now it is as actual or more actual than one could imagine when it was written. Not a word has been changed. What has happened? There is obviously some kind of a universal action sweeping over the world which doesn't take into account our linear or lateral mind's thinking. We play our role in the midst of that universal action. Try to understand what that action is driving towards. And as individuals or as groups, what is our role and responsibility? If we have a responsibility, I doubt if there's a universal action, the responsibility belongs to the cosmos, not to the individual. But at the individual level, there is obviously something to be done. So that is how this year's has taken shape. I find it interesting to share it now because, as we all know, the cyclone Thane, we have deliberately, Donata, who has done up this hall, has kept remnants of it around so that you have some idea of what still remains on the roads of Faraway. I mean, about 500,000 trees fell down, which you built up, grown over 30, 40 years, all between 10 p.m. and 8 a.m. And a little later in the morning, at least the first thing that I heard of was, you know, we were so proud, fear of the green work, of the afforestation. It's down. Maybe we have something to learn. It was not sorrow, it was not trauma, it was not shock. Something has to be learned. Matri Mandir was unscathed, untouched. And how do we proceed further? Is it for green work we came or something much deeper? there was a renewal of collective energy, which has been one of the most amazing experiences of those who live here and all those who have visited here during the last month and a half. And immediately people got around to doing their work, clearing their roads, etc., whatever had to be done, restore water, power, etc. And you suddenly realize, like Thuan, who has been very much at the helm of all this, an engineer just sitting there, but we had built up the infrastructure for little settlements as we grew up, we have about 60 of them. But now that we are gearing up to build a city, it was totally inadequate. We would never have had the courage or the physical manpower or the financial resources to dig all that up, you know, with these overground cables and build a proper infrastructure for a city. Nature has done it for us. It is a strange afterthought, but a universal action has so many sides to it. I'd only conclude by sharing one perception which comes to me very strongly. When we look at the world, the pressure of events in all countries, at all levels, in all fields of life and work, there is a kind of an overlap of crisis. One doesn't work its full length out, one's full span, and the next is already there. And we are, as the most supposedly intelligent species that evolution has produced so far, unable to deal with any of those problems, not even one. Why? In fact, there's no other question, it's only one. Whether we look at it from one angle of research and experience or another, there's only one question, if we are looking for answers. Perhaps all the past is folded up. Not folding up, it's folded up. Because we have moved into another space. Not just space and time in the physical sense, but in the sense of being, conscious being. What is the space that we have moved into? How do we see it from the areas of research or experience at which we stand? This, among the others, would perhaps be one of the seminal questions that will be with us in the next 3 days. So thank you for being here. I won't even say thank you because I think we all have the same concern. And let's see how these 3 days unveil some truths to us. We have first Jean-Yves, who has been a long time in our world, and his interest is in education, experimenting different kinds of education with the young, and looking at the future for humanity, which is in fact the theme that he wants to speak on, humanity in transition. So let's see what kind of a transition Jean-Yves outlines for us.
So Asta gave me the theme of beings in transition. As usual, I feel very incompetent to speak of these themes, but let's try. In fact, Chomedo said that man is a transitional being from the perfection of the animal to the perfection of the divine being yet to come. It's just a transition. So we have been busy being in transition all that time. You know, all the history of humanity is just making the link. But today, there is an acceleration of change, of evolution. And the world has suddenly become one, precipitated into oneness of condition, so to say, one in knowledge, in technology, in economy, one in ecological conditions, one in the problems we face, one in the solutions we have to find. It's a kind of imperative oneness. It's put on us. The new condition given to our works. And this sudden emergence occurs when we are still busy asserting our own separate right or claims against each other, man against nature, religions against religions, nations against nations. And with all the noise we make, we don't hear the message. The world we have dreamed of in the 19th century, a rationalized, scientific, democratic, market-driven world, is falling apart. But we persistently continue to think that with a new dose of science and market and democracy, we will find the solutions. When in fact we are drifting faster and faster to some unknown destination, and we keep trying to pull ourselves back to our old moorings, not realizing that they have lost their anchor. And here we are. We are load of human stuff, our hopes, our ideals, our fears, our greed, our technology, our specialized efficiencies that swim in a sea of global incompetence, our rationalizing mind coping with a more and more complex world, which it finds more and more difficult to measure. And we discover progressively the irrelevance of all that we have become. There was a time when man perceived himself as a summit of evolution, a miraculous emergence, a noble thing by itself, king of the creation. This perception of ourselves is more and more difficult to sustain. All our dreams have been broken by the pace of evolution. In the past, we have dreamed of a righteous society ruled by the right measures of Dharma or by a Confucian effort of moral perfection. And it ended into a despotic rule of conventions that were so stifling for human progress that it had to be crushed or left to rot on the side. Then we have dreamed of individual liberty accomplishing itself sovereignly. And in this attempt, we have effectively given the world to the individual egoism that rose suddenly to a new dimension. At last free to exploit in the name of freedom, man and nature for its own enjoyment. It's very much like the story of Ramayana. It's not a story of the past. Ravana is still holding Sita, the earth consciousness, and Sita is still to be delivered. Then we have dreamed of a communist society where all men at last freed from the chains of exploitation would reinvent the world. A new man, a new society, and we gave birth to the worst oppression ever heard of. We have dreamed of universal education. But what we have created is a system aiming at making the youth employable for the labor market and not even succeeding in doing so. We have dreamed of eradicating illness, and our medical environment has created new viruses and bacteria resisting to our medicines. We have dreamed of free energy for all and created an immense pollution derived from oil and coal and the nightmares of Chernobyl and Fukushima. And all this has been achieved by the brightest of our minds and the best of our goodwill. That is what is the most significant. The disorders of the present world don't come from incompetent people, but from highly qualified engineers, lawyers, doctors, consultants, experts of all kinds. Each one with his specialized competence, but unable to grasp the whole. So the very nature of our mind is questioned here. It is as if we had completed the journey of exploring the human possibilities and finally reached the limits of our competence. The world, evolution, nature are now calling for something more than this stumbling mind. Something different, of a different kind, of a different law. Well, we might be fired here, we might lose our job because we are not qualified to manage the world. The world has been made one by science, by technology, by economy, and we still have not discovered how this unity could be truly manifest. Nature is now showing us that it is more complex in its processes than we thought. Long ago, we thought that nature was a little simple, and the mind was intelligent and could understand the law of nature. And now we discover that the laws of nature are more complex than our logical functioning. What we call development is a destructuration of societies. And we have not yet discovered what true development is. Development of what? So after many millennia of human endeavor, rich with so many achievements that are never achieved, but having grown more complex in the process, and more naked as ever also before the world, because we have tried everything. What is the last step to be taken? Auroville has been created as a place where such a step could be experimented with, explored collectively, and willingly taken, joyfully taken, or not, because the freedom is left, you know, until the end to finally say, no, I don't want. Or maybe we can say yes, but not now. The first response of man to the divine is, can we wait a minute? Does it have to happen, the whole thing, right now? Are we sure that we have tried everything before attempting this adventure in the unknown? Is it reasonable? But no, it's not. Let's be clear. And at the same time, is the most reasonable thing to do, the attempt of the unknown of tomorrow. Well, it depends what kind of reasons we refer to. In 1972, the mother, speaking of the change in the world, put it in this way. At present, whatever is invisible or imperceptible is unreal to us. I mean, to human beings in general. We say that some things are concrete and others are not. But this power, this might, which is not material, is becoming more concretely effective on Earth than any earthly material things. That's it. This is the totally new and incomprehensible fact, but it creates a sort of panic in the ordinary human consciousness. It seems that things are no longer what they were. There is really something new. Things are no longer what they were. Ce n'est plus comme c'était. All our common sense, our human logic, our practical sense collapsed, finished, no longer effective, no longer realistic. They are no longer relevant. A new world, really. And she continues, you see, what in terms of human common sense says this is impossible. It's never been before. That's what is finished. This idiocy is over. It has become a stupidity. Now we could say it is possible because it has never been before. This is the new world, and this is the new consciousness, and this is the new power. It is possible, and it is, and will be more and more manifest because it is the new world. Because it has never been before. It will be because it has never been before. End of quote. Maybe this is what being in transition means. Whether in Auroville or anywhere else, to find oneself in this new situation where all that we have relied upon is not effective anymore. We find it hard to swallow, to acknowledge, to admit. The old formations don't give way so easily. They seem to love the agonizing process of checking step by step their failure, their irrelevance. As if they wanted to fail completely, to make sure, before accepting to surrender themselves to something higher. But it's true that we have grown nourished by these formations of the past. We are their children, so to say. We are what we are today as their creation, and they are in us, crying for respite, for survival. And it is within us that they have to be offered to a higher and truer consciousness. They don't know yet that it is not a death, but a transformation. Not a mutilation, but an accomplishment of all they aspire to achieve. Yes, here we are, with the old fighting the new, and the new trying to explain that it is not a fight. It is a dance, the new world inviting us to learn its embrace and its new steps, like the tango of the new world. Thank you.
If there are any responses that one would like to share with Shaw Eve while he is with us.
Just a word about the creative power of destruction. In the long term, I'm very optimistic. In the short term, I'm very pessimistic.
But there is this Indian tradition of the relation of creation, preservation, and destruction, making recreation possible. I think we're going to have to go through a crisis in order to be able to understand exactly what you're saying, that there's a new world, we're now in a new age. It'll be miserable in many respects, but like a cyclone, it'll be necessary in order to clear the way for something else. So, I don't know, do you think we can glide through from the old to the new without some kind of destructive precipitate, or do you think we're going to have to go through that phase?
Well, it's true that in the history we can see that civilizations have grown, they have crystallized, and because they have crystallized, they cannot change, and they have to be destroyed. But that is not the ideal way. We could aspire to a plasticity that could come, you know, into our minds, our lives, so that we don't have to destroy or be destroyed in order to move forward. So let's hope for the best.
That's actually the point you raised, something I've been thinking of also, and something what he talks about, that evolution will probably need other means other than destruction. It was something I came across very recently, and I was quite surprised by that. I was going through The Life Divine once more, and Sri Aurobindo, he speaks of one of the biggest setbacks that could happen to the evolutionary movement is if too much technological prowess is invested within certain sections of the world, and that could actually, if used, that could actually set off an intense regression and stop. So perhaps we need to find other means. That's it.
Anyone else?
No, yeah. I can add something. It's true there is a kind of conflict between the new and the old, but at the same time, within the old formations, you know, of society, of civilization, there are paths of progress. Human beings are still, you know, moving on in the domain of thought, in the domain of science. It's not that we have stopped. There is this pushing, the question about nature, about reality, about the laws of reality, is still burning. So at the same time, there is a movement. There are some regression, and also there is a movement forward. It's not only all dramatically hopeless.
If we look at the human history, it's always been the humans that, of course, are responsible for growth, innovation, and then destruction, and the cycle begins again. So it's a cycle where destruction is part of the, you know, has to happen, and it's happened in a variety of ways during human history. For example, the humans, ancient societies, when they developed, they war used the resources. For example, depleted the rivers, or, you know, war used the land and caused the environmental changes, which resulted in dry spells for 50, 100 years, and as a result, the civilization died off, and then somewhere the new cycle began, new societies began, and then so this is a kind of bigger picture. This is a cycle consisting of all different phases. Destruction is one of them. It had to happen, like a cyclone. Cyclone is a way of, it's nature's way of cleansing once in a while, so that new growth will begin again. And not only the trees, but also look at the precipitation. You know, water resources would deplete. And then it comes to a point, there's no more water in the dams. And the cyclone comes along and fills the dams to the brim. So, the distraction we're thinking is an essential part of life. That's...
Well, in a way, we could say we have to die to our old formation so that we can be born again constantly. And this movement of renewal, which when we cannot make it, we invite destruction, it is true.
Evolution, I think, is a noisy process in the sense that we understand noise in science, that there are ups and downs in the general curve of going up. But as Sri Aurobindo has said, we are in a very privileged position now that we have the mind which can will us to do things. And I think how much destruction will be required is a function, really, of how much aspiration we can bring in. And if the aspiration is strong enough, then we may not need to be destroyed. So really, in many ways, it depends on us. And if the aspiration is strong enough, then I don't think we will need to go through a cycle of destruction. And if it is not, then so be it.
Yeah.
I agree.